We're talking about the Danish term hygge on the morning show. I'm Kate Archer Kent. We're going to find out what happens when we embrace the hygge way of life. But first, it's time for our winter membership drive, which is always a very special, warm place. I'm Kate Archer Kent here with my colleague, Cheryl Gasser. This is our year-end membership drive here on the Ideas Network. You count on us for in-depth talk about the issues, and we count on you to keep these discussions going strong. Your gift right now makes a big difference both this year and as we head into 2019 at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Kate, I am so happy to be here with you as you take back the reins of the morning show.
Thank you.
Wonderful to hear you back on the air. And listeners, we have a goal this hour of 15 pledges. 15 pledges in support of the morning show and everything you enjoy on WPR. Our goal is so important because we set it to make sure we have the funding we need for the programs you rely on.
We'll meet this goal one pledge at a time, and let's start with yours this morning at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Public radio has a unique funding model. It's a two-way street that creates a higher quality product than you will find anywhere else on the radio. This is how it works. You voluntarily contribute, and in turn, you get back programs that are accountable to you.
It is an amazing system. You get programs worth listening to precisely because you step up and support them. So make your contribution for independent news, information, and music right now. Help pay for all the programs you enjoy on WPR and here on the Ideas Network at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And during this year-end membership drive, we have a very special thank you gift. And Kate, I love this. You can ask for one of the food bank thank you gifts.
So important.
There are two options available, either at $10 or $20 a month, or if you prefer, make a one-time gift of $120 or $240.
Your thank you gift will provide meals to a Wisconsin food bank near you. So get started right now with your pledge at WPR.org. Or 888-202-2552.
Here's a quick recap of the great reasons to give right now. One, your pledge supports the programs that you enjoy every day here on WPR. Second, your gift is tax deductible for 2018, and you can ask for the food bank thank you gift to help those in need with your pledge of $10 or $20 a month or more. It is a great time to give, so do it now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
It's the season of giving, and this membership drive is your chance to do two good things at once when you give to Wisconsin Public Radio today. We're proud to partner with food banks across Wisconsin to provide meals to people facing hunger throughout the state. Let the impact of your pledge go beyond great radio to help people in need near you. Donate $10 or $20 a month to WPR and choose one of the food bank gifts. Pledge now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Yes, go to WPR.org or 888-202-2552 to make your donation in support of the programs you count on. Good morning. I'm Kate Archer Kent here with Ideas Network Director Cheryl Gasser. We are raising the money that keeps Wisconsin Public Radio and all the programs that you enjoy on the air. So whether your pledge is $10 a month, whether it's $100 a month, we appreciate and we count on your gift.
Wisconsin Public Radio is personally important to you, and it's probably also important for you that everyone in the state has access to this high-quality information and entertainment.
So become a member with a contribution of, say, $10 a month or $120, and you're not only doing something good for yourself, you're doing something good for the whole community. WPR is listener-supported, and your participation is so important this morning. Make your difference right now. Give at WPR.org or 888 202-2552.
We are looking for 15 pledges this hour, and it's you that makes this goal possible. You make WPR possible when you give at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And if you're not a sustainer, become one right now. It's easy to set up. It's convenient, ongoing monthly donations from your bank account or credit card at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And remember to ask for one of the food bank thank you gifts when you give $10 or $20 a month or more. WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
It is the morning show here on the Ideas Network. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Winter days are here, and that means there is a place for crackling fires, good company, and a general feeling of coziness. We're talking about the Danish word hygge, that is really a bigger concept and way of living. Klaus Andersen is our guide on all things hygge. He is a Scandinavian studies professor here at UW-Madison. Klaus, welcome to the program.
Thank you so much, and good morning.
Good morning. So tell us first, how do you define hygge? What is it?
Well, the way I define it, and maybe we should actually start with the pronunciation, it's hygge. And the word itself and saying it is for Danes very important. We use it as a noun, as an adjective, and as a verb. So saying it is very important.
Hygge.
But I define it as pleasant togetherness. So there's both something about the atmosphere and there's something about the social component of it.
So the atmosphere. Can you help us build an atmosphere for hygge?
Well, let's start with the lighting. Candles, of course, is incredibly important. You mentioned the crackling and fires, but Danes actually burn more candles than anyone in the world. So turning on candles when you have breakfast on a winter morning, or even during dinner at night, is something that create that atmosphere. And also indirect lighting. I think there's an American tendency to what I call stadium lighting in the dark winter, that you turn on 100-watt bulbs over the dining room table. But in the hygge aspect of it would be maybe put a 40-watt bulb in and embrace the darkness inside as well.
And so it's really making that atmosphere. But what about the idea, the connection, the personal connection with the people around you? And the loved ones.
I mean, that's exactly why that's the social component.
Yeah.
That, I mean, when we sit together, when we sit and share a meal, when we sit and share a cup of coffee or sit and talk in front of the fire or looking at candlelight, right? Magic happens when people are together, right? We experience a togetherness, a community, and that is really important part of hygge as well.
It sounds like there's a bit about being present and about knowing and surrounding, being focused on right now, not behind you and not looking ahead, but just being where you are.
Yes, and that is also very important of hygge, that it is a time for relaxation, enjoying the here and now, and enjoying that you don't have any worries, any concerns for the future in that very moment.
One of our listeners, Todd, tweeted, "For me, hygge is best accomplished by powering devices down, opening a bottle of a good drink, and cooking with friends and family." Is Todd's perception accurate?
Yes, because, I mean, so much of it is in the atmosphere, more in certain material things that we put up around surrounding it. So being with friends, family, doing something you appreciate and having that togetherness, that is very much hygge.
Where did hygge come from? What's its history?
Well, in a Danish context and the way it's embraced now, it comes in the late 19th century at a time where Denmark historically lost all importance on the European continent. We had just, in the wake of the Second Prussian War, lost the duchies of Schleswig and Holstein. So no one really cared about Denmark anymore. There was a financial downturn. And the motto kind of became, what has been lost outwardly should be gained inwardly. Mm. So the country turned inward. And that was when we started embracing spending time together instead of being engaged in the world. So that's kind of the history behind it, that it came into being at a time where the country turned inwardly.
It's also spread, though, to Scandinavian countries with similar concepts. Is that right?
Yes. And we do find Lagom in Sweden. We find something similar in Norway and Finland as well. And there, of course, it has to do with somewhat with the welfare state, the Scandinavian idea that you have a work-life balance. You have the time to sit down and relax, and you do not have any worries that you might find here in the U.S., whether that be, can I pay for my children's college? Can I afford medical bills that might be coming? Because those worries, of course, do not exist in a welfare state.
And here we might be thinking of other things like, you know, do I have enough food or do I need to get one more thing done at work or stay longer?
And with that said also, I mean, in Hygge is very much the privileged concept. It's something that exists as a middle class phenomena in Denmark. And it's also a phenomena that's being used upwardly for social control. Mm. Some of the most negative things Danes can say about people who have a lot of money, who live in a big house, is their house is not hygge.
Hmm. Let's pause on that as we look at more about where it fits in the social structure. The Danish word hygge would probably blush at all the attention it's getting. The word alludes to physical and emotional coziness, and it's caught on as Wisconsinites trying to find hygge in their lives. Do you delight in these types of things? Have you found hygge? Join in at 800-642-1234. Tweet us at WPR Mornings. Klaus Andersen is a professor of Scandinavian Studies. He stays with us here on the Ideas Network. It is the morning show on the Ideas Network. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. We're learning about the Nordic word for warmth, coziness, and contentment. But first, we have a warm message from our winter membership drive. I'm here with Cheryl Gasser. This is our year-end membership drive, and this is your public radio station, listener-supported Wisconsin Public Radio. Right now is your chance to make sure we get a great start into 2019. You make WPR programs possible as we head into the new year when you pledge at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And Kate, we are looking for 15 pledges this hour. It's these hourly goals that are set up to make sure we have the funding we need for the programs you enjoy, programs like The Morning Show. So make your contribution now, become a member, make a difference at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Every day, our team works hard to bring you a great morning of radio. And this is an absolute pleasure because we know that you're curious and intelligent. We also know you like to have fun and enjoy all that Wisconsin has to offer.
Thank you so much for being a great audience and for being the reason that we do what we do. And you can give one more thing this hour, your financial support. It's your support that makes these mornings possible. So give now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Our monthly giving program is becoming more and more popular. In fact, we have more than 23,000 sustainers who make ongoing monthly gifts, and that number is growing day by day.
It really is amazing. So give it a try. We think you will like it. You set up an ongoing monthly amount to come out of your bank account or your credit card. Your donation is automatically renewed every year, and you're always in control. It's easy to get started. Give a gift of $10 or $20 a month or whatever amount works for you at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
We've probably all had this happen. We spend money on something and then hardly ever use it.
I would say closets and closets full of clothes that I never wore.
I bought a pair of backcountry skis a few years ago that I have never used.
I bought an extremely cheap violin case that was so cheap that I threw it away within 10 minutes of opening it.
Unlike some investments, your donation to Wisconsin Public Radio is a good one. One you'll get value from every day. Make your gift to support the programs you count on right now. Here's how.
Go to WPR.org or 888-202-2552 to make your pledge. I'm Kate Archer-Kent here with Cheryl Gasser. We're asking for your support during this year-end membership drive because it's what makes the WPR programs you rely on possible. Your gift of $10 or $20 a month, whatever amount is what you choose, that is the right amount.
And supporting Wisconsin Public Radio right now is a great thing to do. It takes just a couple minutes of your time. All we need is your name, your contact information, how much you'd like to give, and how you'd like to pay.
Your gift supports the stories and programs that keep you connected to the world and to Wisconsin. So give now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
You can help us reach our hourly goal of 15 pledges with your gift right now. It's your gift at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. That is such an important part of making programs you enjoy possible.
If you're a sustaining member making ongoing monthly gifts, first of all, thank you. Make today the day you increase your support of WPR by $5 or $10 a month, whatever amount you choose, at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Your gift will keep the conversations going, and if you pledge $10 or $20 a month or more, you can also ask for the food bank gift when you make your contribution. That's WPR.org or 888-202-2552. Your pledge right now is so important, and we thank you.
It is the morning show here on the Ideas Network. Huga is a classic example of an untranslatable word, a term which lacks an exact equivalent in English. And rather than attempt to translate the word, we simply adopt the word, drop it into our conversations. Klaus Anderson is giving us the background and how to embrace huga in our home. He's a professor of Scandinavian studies at UW-Madison. And you can join in the conversation at 800-642-1234. What questions do you have about this practice? Do you think people in the U.S. would benefit from embracing togetherness and community? Can this really catch on? 800-642-1234. Tweet us at WPR Mornings. Klaus, you're Danish, and you've lived in a few places within the U.S., and you say that Wisconsin is particularly good, particularly huga place. Why is that?
Well, first of all, we have the North European, specifically Scandinavian heritage here. So I think Wisconsinites in that respect are more prone to hygge as well. Many of the same foods that I associate with hygge is something that is readily available here as well. Secondly, I think Wisconsinites are also very good at focusing on a life-work balance much more than you find many other places in the U.S., and making sure that they relax and invite friends and family into their home. So simply those are a couple of the factors why I think Wisconsin is prone for hygge more than many other places. And of course, the last factor is the weather. We have long winters here, yeah. We have dark winters, we have cold winters, and then there's nothing as a winter that makes us sit inside and want to drink a hot drink and turn on the fire.
What foods do you associate with hygge?
That's a very good question. I mean, baked goods, all kinds of Danish baked goods, right? And of course, here we have Racine with mm-hmm. the kringle.
Yeah.
So already there we have taken a first step. Or whatever home-baked goods you also have. But it's typically something sweet, but not in excess, not too much of it, just a little bit. Yeah.
So our neighbor, Minnesota, has a lot of Scandinavian heritage as well. Do you find hygge there alive and well?
Not as much as I do here, and I think maybe it's because I lived in Minneapolis for a few years, 15 years ago, and at least compared to Madison, where I live now, there's a much more cosmopolitan, much more focus on work than I find here.
Hygge was one of the top 10 words of the year in 2016 here in the U.S., and more people are becoming familiar with it and trying to practice it here. Why do you think it's gained traction, it's gained popularity in America?
I think there are several reasons. As I mentioned before, in a Scandinavian and a Danish context, hygge comes in at a time in history when we turn inwardly. And if we look at when it entered the English language, when it was officially became a word of the Oxford English Dictionary in 2016, that was the year of Brexit, where the UK turned inwardly. Here as well, 2016, the election of President Trump that led on that ran on a platform of being more focused on America and less engaged in the world. So there we have at least the same inwardly turn that we have in Scandinavia. And I think as well there has become at the same time more focus here in the US on embracing the now, on focusing more on the work-life balance that you find in Scandinavia. And we hear, at least on the political left today, much more talk about the things that characterize the Scandinavian welfare state that will create that worry-less mind that often is associated with hygge.
One of the biggest misconceptions is that it revolves around darkness and cold winter, but you say hygge is very applicable in the summer months.
Yes, and I think what we have to imagine here are the long Scandinavian summer nights, where it doesn't never really become fully dark outside. And there I associate, and I think many Scandinavians associate, hygge with sitting outside, and it just gets a little darker, and you're sitting with a glass of red wine, with a blanket around you and talking to your friends until the early hours of the morning.
Sounds wonderful.
It is.
We are searching for hygge in our lives here on The Morning Show with Klaus Andersen. He's a professor of Scandinavian studies as our guide. And we know that Nordic nations have somehow got it right with respect to living. You can take the United Nations World Happiness Report, which annually ranks countries according to self-reported subjective well-being. Topping the charts, you've got Norway, Denmark, Iceland, Switzerland, and Finland. What does hygge have to do with it? And how do we make sure we're not swept up into a marketing craze here in the U.S.? Can commercialization hurt hygge? We're exploring that here on the Ideas Network. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Stay with us for this conversation. It is The Morning Show here on the Ideas Network. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. We're learning about hygge. That's the Danish lifestyle concept of cozy, comfortable quality of living. It's become a full-blown social and cultural phenomenon, and we're understanding it on a deeper level. But first, a few comforting words from our winter membership drive. I'm here with Cheryl Gasser, and this is our year-end membership drive. It's your chance to support the programs that you count on every day here on the Ideas Network, programs that keep you in touch, informed, interested. Your gift now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552 is so important as we end this year and we look forward to 2019.
And Kate, we are looking for 8 more pledges in the next 25 minutes to reach our hourly goal. And when you give, you help fund The Morning Show and all the other WPR programs that you count on. So please give now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
It's been such a fun hour here as we learn about hygge, this Danish word that means so much more than that, and creating this whole lifestyle of being present in the moment. And it is really neat, something we would not find anywhere else as we have a conversation here on The Morning Show. WPR is listener supported, and that means when you give at WPR.org or 888 202-252-2552. You make this hour of Huga and many more hours possible. Choose an amount that works for you. Take a few minutes and make your pledge.
In the season of giving right now, you can do two good things at once when you give to Wisconsin Public Radio today. Your donation will, of course, support the programs you rely on. And you can also ask for one of the food bank gifts. There are options available at $10 or $20 a month, or you can make a one-time gift of $120 or $240.
These thank you gifts provide meals to those facing hunger in your area through regional food banks. It all starts with your gift at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
I just like to hear issues really fleshed out and not just soundbited. It's a good mix of local and national issues that are debated intelligently. I think Wisconsin Public Radio is important because we, the public, need to have a source that we can go to that is unbiased, that will have guests on who will present both sides of an issue. We can call in as members of the public and ask questions and get responses that are thoughtful, and I think that's really important. It's important to be informed. I'm John from Milwaukee, Wisconsin. Join me as a sustainer of Wisconsin Public Radio.
Make your pledge with John at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. Good morning, I'm Kate Archer-Kent here with Cheryl Gasser. Listener support is the biggest source of funding for the WPR programs you rely on, and that's why your support during this year-end membership drive is so important. Maybe your gift is $10 a month or $100 a month. Whatever amount you choose is the right amount.
There are so many important and interesting issues covered here on the Ideas Network, from state politics to Huga culture. The morning show brings it all to you. You rely on these discussions, and that's why your gift during our year-end membership drive is so very important.
Help us put a strong finish on 2018 so we can continue to discuss the issues in the months to come. Make your year-end gift at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
We're looking for seven more pledges in the next 21 minutes or so, and it's you who make WPR possible when you give. Become a member, make a difference, be one of the next seven members of Wisconsin Public Radio, WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
It is the morning show here on the Ideas Network. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Huga was one of the Oxford English Dictionary's most influential words of 2016 and quickly became a marketing buzzword for selling fuzzy slippers and blankets. Then it hit the publishing world with books about Huga. And then the social media wave. There are more than 4 million posts on Instagram, I checked yesterday, bearing the Huga hashtag. Klaus Anderson is helping us get a handle on Huga. He's a Scandinavian studies professor at UW-Madison. Getting your thoughts on Huga, they're welcome at 800-642-1234. Do you have Huga in your language? How do you embrace Huga in your life? You can call in, you can email ideas at WPR.org. Klaus, after Huga became popular here in the U.S. in 2016, there was, of course, some criticism that claimed this was a concept for the privileged. It's hard to focus on cozy togetherness when you're worried about losing your job or your health care. What is your response to that sentiment?
I mean, there's definitely something about it. It is very much a middle-class, privileged concept in a Scandinavian context. And because of that, even though, of course, I want to promote it here in the U.S. and especially in Wisconsin, it is something that is hard to translate. Because the Scandinavians who sit down and enjoy Huga, they live in a welfare state where so many things are taken care of, where they have free health care, where they don't have to worry about losing their jobs, meaning losing their house, because they will be taken care of by the states, and where they don't have to worry about college funds for the kids. So, yes, there's certainly something about it. It is a privileged concept, and as such, it is hard to translate.
here in the U.S., have you seen the concept of hygge commercialized?
Absolutely. I mean, you can go into most stores here, right? You have brand names about hygge. You have all the books. You see it everywhere. So far, I don't see it as necessarily running counter to hygge. It's not really exploring hygge yet. I think it's still in the phase where it's trying to promote and implement hygge. But as such, I mean, it is in a way a non-commercialized concept. So it would be a little bit like commercializing Thanksgiving here, right?
Right. And it's, in America, we think, well, how can we buy this? How can we buy hygge in our lives? And that just really runs contrary to what it's all about.
Yes, because of course, the thing with hygge is as you mentioned a little earlier, it's that it's linked to ideas of happiness as well. Scandinavia is the most happiest place on Earth, right? And Denmark has topped the list of the happiest nations for more than 10 years now. It's Norway and Finland that is topping the list. And what we know from all the research, all the scholarship that has been done on what makes people happy, it is very much the concepts that align with hygge. That makes people happiness. It makes people happy. It's about togetherness. It's about spending time with friends, embracing the here and now, and simply feeling connected to your community.
If we could make one step today to incorporate hygge into our lives, into our daily lives, what would you say?
Spend more times with friends. Don't eat lunch alone. Go out for coffee with colleagues. I think that simply is the first step. Create friendships, create togetherness. That will be the first step in creating hygge.
What comes out of that, do you think? What are the benefits of hygge, and where do you start seeing the change?
The benefits are that you feel connected to where you live. You feel connected in your life, and you feel that you have a purpose. You have something to look forward to. Your life becomes more than just going to work and coming home and putting the kids to bed. So I really think those are some of the benefits of it. Right?
Can we peek inside your life, your home? How have you created hygge in your life?
Candles. And we very much embrace hygge, both my wife, who's American, and my children, we talk about hygge as a natural part of our lives. That being on weekends where we sit down in the afternoon and enjoy a cup of coffee and a baked goods. That's very much is hygge for us. Recently, my son, who is 10, was asked in school to come up with a word that he thought defined his family, and he chose the word hygge. So, in that respect, I think we've done a good job.
That must make you so proud.
That made me very proud, yes.
Is it hard for you to slow down? Because here there are so many expectations, taking the kids to practices and making sure that homework is done and all the myriad things that get caught up in an evening of trying to make, you know, a dinner, and we run out of time.
Yes, absolutely. And I don't think that, of course, that is not just an American problem, right? That's also something we find in Scandinavia. And that's also why we see in Scandinavia that's been more focused on hygge recently. I mean, we have social media. We have phones that go off all the time. We checking our emails, social media every 30 seconds, right? It is something that is the antithesis of hygge. So I think it is hard, and that's why we need to talk about it. That's why we need to try even harder to get to that point of togetherness and create that atmosphere where we can relax and feel comfortable.
I love food. Do you have a family that bakes together? You talked about some of the Danish pastries. What are your favorite?
Oh, there are so many. I mean, kringle, of course, is a good kringle. Is something that I love more than anything.
Wait, what filling? I just have to ask.
Almond, because the almond filling, I think, is closer to what I consider a the Danish version. And the Danish version, of course, is made of very, very thin layers, right? 27 to be exact layers of dough put on top of each other, just rolled really, really thinly.
And then you have your Kringle with coffee?
Then coffee. And I think, I mean, coffee is an important part of it. What you read in all the books about hygge is often about hot chocolate. But we have to keep in mind, Scandinavians are the people in the world that drinks the most coffee. When you socialize with someone, when you step into someone's home, you always served a cup of coffee. They don't wait and ask, what would you like to drink? It is there. It is served for you right away.
Ah, it's an expectation.
It is an expectation. Right? Huh. So I think sitting with a hot drink, of course, creates a certain atmosphere, right? It creates a feeling of belongingness, right? That we're together about this drink here and now, right?
Take us to the summer months and how you incorporate hygge. I know that summer nights are long, a lot more daylight mm-hmm. to take advantage of. Can hygge also be something where you're walking and you're moving and not just being still?
Yes, I mean, because walking through nature, walking through the forest, because it is so defined by the social aspect. You're with someone, you're creating an intimacy almost and enjoying the moment. So yes, it can be. But I would say mostly it is about sitting down, relaxing, enjoying food, enjoying a drink. And again, here we come to the privileged aspect of it, right? I mean, Scandinavians have typically 4 to 5 weeks of vacation during the summer. So it is very easy to sit up during those long summer nights with a glass of wine or having friends over or spending time with them, right? Because you don't have to go to work the next morning. You don't have to worry about all these things and making sure you can find summer camps for your children and you can afford it and what comes with that.
And so that time away from work too really helps incorporate the aspects of hygge in your life.
Yes, definitely, right? Because that is really where you can let go of everything. And in many Scandinavian countries, you find that people have, just like in Wisconsin, summer cabins. And they go there and spend weeks on end in very primitive cabins. Yeah.
So very going back to basics and the simple things, primitive cabins, maybe running water, maybe not.
Yes.
Maybe electricity, maybe not.
Maybe not, yes. Especially when we go up to Sweden and Finland, where you have cabins that are much more primitive, where in Denmark and Norway, they typically have running water and electricity.
Where is your favorite place to go in the Nordic countries? Where do you like to vacation?
My family's summer cabin on the west coast of Jutland in Denmark by the North Sea. That for me is small, it is cozy, it is relaxation. That really is the embodiment of hygge. The first thing I do in the morning when I get up is thinking about what I'm having for dinner.
The North Sea, can you describe a little bit if we haven't been there?
It is the sandy beach, wide with sand dunes and just salty water and part of the Atlantic Ocean that comes into that part, coast. So cold water, but blue skies.
Oh my goodness. And so you can take long walks on the
exactly.
beach.
Yeah.
Yeah. And you can see the water from where you are.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah.
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 Well, if you could give us one piece of advice and wrap up here on hygge, what would you tell us about it? How can we embrace it more?
Take a step back. Relax a little more. And again, spend time with friends. Embrace the togetherness. And turn down the light in your house.
Well, Klaus, thank you so much for joining us. It's been such a pleasure. Klaus Andersen is a professor of Scandinavian Studies at UW-Madison. We've been talking about hygge in our life. I'm Kate Archer-Kent, and this is The Morning Show here on the Ideas Network. Stay with us. It is the morning show here on the Ideas Network. Stay with us next hour as we shift gears, look at politics at the lame duck session, and we'll also take a look at House Speaker Paul Ryan's legacy. That's all coming up next hour. But first, it is our winter membership drive. I'm Kate Archer-Kent here with Cheryl Gasser. This is listener-supported Wisconsin Public Radio. Our year-end membership drive is a time for you to think about how much you've learned from and enjoyed WPR programs in 2018, and think about how you want to keep them going strong in 2019, and then take action with your gift at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And Kate, no surprise, our listeners are coming through for us wonderfully. We are looking for just five more pledges in the next 5 minutes. Oh, now it's down to four more
nice.
Pledges. Won't you be one of those four? You can make your gift to support the programs that you enjoy and rely on every day.
WPR programs are listener powered, and that means your pledge right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552 helps pay for the programs you rely on, and it makes a difference.
I love listening to this hour, Kate, talking about hygge culture, finding comfort among friends, finding pleasure in the simple things, whether it's a cozy blanket or a warm cup of tea. These are the kind of conversations that WPR brings to you every day, that the morning show brings to you weekday mornings. It's listener supported, and that means when you give at WPR.org or 888-202-2552, you make this hour and so many more hours possible. So choose an amount that works for you, take just a few minutes, and make your pledge.
As the donor, you get to decide how much to give, and maybe $100 or $200 a month is the right amount for you.
That might be what you spend every month on going out to dinner or doing things with those friends. And those are things that you enjoy that make life better, just like listening to WPR. It's important that you decide the right amount for you and then make your gift at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
December is a special time of year. We asked some people, what are your year-end traditions?
Our family generally gets together at my mom and dad's house, and we just spend time with each other.
Going for a walk in the first snowfall of the year.
Getting out my Hawaiian Aloha Advent calendar, which has a giant Santa Claus in an Aloha shirt and flip-flops.
Make giving to Wisconsin Public Radio one of your year-end traditions. In return, you'll get programs that make you think, laugh, and start conversations all year long. Here's how.
Go to WPR.org or 888-202-2552 to make your donation in support of the programs you count on. I'm Kate Archer-Kent here with Cheryl Gasser, and we are raising the money that keeps Wisconsin Public Radio and all the programs you enjoy on the air. Whether your pledge is $10 a month, whether it's $100 a month, we appreciate and we count on your gift.
On Wisconsin Public Radio, you get programs that inform and inspire you, programs that entertain and engage you anytime you want.
And what makes it all possible? It is you. Listener support is the largest piece of the budget pie. People who contribute make WPR happen.
At Wisconsin Public Radio, your membership makes a difference. You make a difference. So become a member with your pledge, whether your gift is $100 or $10 a month. Whatever amount is right for you is the absolute right amount. It's the right thing to do. So make your pledge at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
No time like the present. Pledge right now. Well, you're thinking about it this morning. It takes just a few minutes to contribute.
WPR.org or 888-202-2552, and you'll have that good feeling of supporting the programs that you love.
And we have just four more pledges to go in the next couple minutes. We can make this goal, your gift, right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552 is such an important part of making the programs you enjoy possible.
We simply couldn't do it without you. And if you are a sustaining member making ongoing monthly gifts, thank you so much for your support. Why not make today the day you increase your support of WPR by maybe $5 or $10 a month, or whatever amount you choose. You can do that at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Your pledge is important. It makes a difference. And thank you so much at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.